PSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor, with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing and defining ideas, a report card of the Biden administration's first year in office. We turn to the inflation story that has been with us all year long. Heretofore, Mr. Powell at the Federal Reserve, now renominated by the president to be chairman another few years, Mr. Powell has said it was transitory or temporary inflation. No longer, the Federal Reserve has now moved aggressively to say this inflation is a problem. We're going to end the bond buying. The taper will end with the end of it. And then we will look to raising rates in 2022, perhaps three times. However, this story is global. The Bank of England has moved quickly to raise rates without much announcement. Other banks are looking at doing some adjustment to inflation, like the European Central Bank. Richard, the president has said in various formats that the inflation is a product of the pandemic and the supply chain, and that once that settles, inflation will ebb. That has been the ambition all year. It hasn't happened yet. Is that an answer to inflation? You also indicate there are other drivers.
Well, I think the obvious driver is the vast increase in the amount of money that's been sent into the economy. If what you do is essentially you sort of buy bonds, that means you're putting cash out into the world. You try to sell those bonds, nobody's going to basically take them off your hands, so you're probably going to lose. And I think that the traditional story is that the quantity of money you have out there is a pretty good indicator of the level of inflation you should anticipate. And the rate at which that money starts to turn over, its velocity, is another kind of indicator. And both those two things have gone up. And so what you'd expect to see is some kind of inflation. The supply chain difficulties, I don't see how that affects inflation particularly much, except to the extent that any inefficiency means that for the given amount of resources you have, you produce less goods, so there's going to be a greater price. But this thing is being worked through, and as it gets a little bit better, it turns out that the inflation gets a little bit worse, so it's pretty hard to treat it as a cause. COVID, essentially, the problem with COVID is not the disease as such, although that's certainly a terrible problem. It's the amount of money that we inject into the economy in order to compensate with that, to do it by various subsidies of one kind or another. Even the cost of vaccines and everything that we put out there that adds trillions of dollars into the cost of the overall economy, you would expect to see some inflation from that. And the sad thing about the whole stuff with respect to COVID, as Omicron seems to be showing, is that this is not a transitory problem any more than inflation is a transitory problem. What we have now is not a pandemic. We have something which is endemic. There are so many different varieties of COVID that are out there. It just takes a little bit of time for one of them to go silently throughout the globe but then erupt in ways that has happened with respect to Omicron. So I think, in effect, that the COVID stuff is going to be with us for a very long time. And what we have to do is to rethink from scratch the way that we think it's appropriate to try to deal with that stuff. But I just don't see any effort on the part of most people to do that. The simplest thing is to recognize that general quarantines that we try to put into place are a failure. And if they're vulnerable populations, you try to isolate them and to protect them. But so long as we believe that we have to shut everything down, once this starts again, what we will do is simply make things more dangerous. There will be other diseases that will start to happen. There'll be the failures in education for the young and so forth. There'll be the disruption of all sorts of sociability. We have to rethink this. But if you look at who's in the White House, the man who says, I only follow the science, has no idea what the science starts to say. And so I hope that people will start to realize that Anthony Fauci is not the person whom we want to trust on these kinds of issues. He's been consistently wrong. And that what they will try to do is to figure out how it is that you open up the economy rather than to figure out how it is that you're going to try to shut it down. My view about it is it's extremely difficult to come up with any kind of coherent system that will stop the spread of this particular virus, no matter how aggressive that you try to be. If you remember, people said, oh, we've seen a case in South Africa. Oh, let's stop the travel from South Africa into the United States. And then 2 weeks later, you have millions, not millions, thousands upon thousands of cases, which meant that this thing as it were, transmuted itself and went back and forth across state lines long before it became apparent that this was a new condition. And the same thing will happen with the next variant and the one after that. We are, unfortunately, in steady state. And one of the things that you have to note, and I'll just make this very simply, the 1918 Spanish flu lasted roughly 8 or 9 weeks. It came, incredible cost, and then it went. This thing where we have much more management has now been in place for close to 2 years, and we have done nothing to stop it. Clearly, you have to start to rethink from scratch what you're doing if it turns out that the primary consequence of your efforts to stop short-term dislocations from COVID is to create this long-term kind of chaos. You have to explain how this thing is going on for 21 months, and you have to attribute it not to a virus, but at least in part to the policies that we put in place in an effort to curtail that virus.
The final report card note is trade. I say with some irony, there is very little to choose between the Trump administration and the Biden administration on trade. Is that an accident, Richard?
No, I don't think it is. Look, one of the things that people who watched Trump carefully were always a little bit suspicious of was this kind of erratic populism. And in many cases, that populism becomes directed towards foreigners, a kind of xenophobia. And so what you try to do is to shut down trade. Biden, I don't think, quite has the same kind of xenophobia, but he also is very close to American labor unions and the labor movement generally. And they are also very suspicious with respect to free trade agreements, because the only way they can maintain their monopoly position in the United States is to cut back on foreign imports and foreign services coming into this particular country. And Biden listens to those people. It's no Searson. Every time he opens his mouth about a labor union, he wants us to know he's the most pro-union president who's ever sat in that office. And in fact, that's exactly what he is. And it's very hard to get no more unions into place by trying to legislate them. So you hope to do was to keep out the competition so that unions now have a little bit more clout because they don't have to face foreign competition in the production of goods. So I think that this is perfectly expectable. The issue is, can one trade change Joe Biden's mind on the fact that unions are monopoly powers, which have many baleful consequences in the way in which they disrupt services and goods in their various flows? I think the chances of changing his mind on anything are zero. I think the basic reason is whatever he believed 20 years ago, he believes today. I don't think he has the intellectual flexibility or the intellectual energy to keep working on this stuff, so that what happens is we have probably a government by proxy in which he delegates powers to various people. We're not quite sure whom they are. But what you're seeing here is a very weak president with very limited energy and almost no imagination trying to run a government. And it's quite clear that that government is running away from him.
I'm especially focused on the trade barriers or the tariffs directed towards China. China is a large story, and there is no one solution. Do you believe that it is necessary to keep those tariffs up against China in the conversation about trade in general?
Look, the Chinese thing and the tariff thing is very difficult for the following reason. We know that the Chinese systematically engage in the theft, for example, of American intellectual property.
We have 1 minute, Richard. One minute.
So if what you do is start to convey to them any particular information for use in a particular project, what they will do is take that information, use it somewhere else, and then cut off the people with whom they had dealt with to begin with. So the answer is, I think it's an extremely difficult question to figure out how you play tit for tat with the Chinese when we know that they're completely unreliable. But by the same token, one does not want to repeat the kinds of mistakes that Trump made by saying the moment you have somebody who sells a good in the United States effectively, we assume that we have to have American supplies in order to advance national security. So I think it's going to take a particularized response. And the reason why I am sort of unhappy is I just don't have any confidence that anybody whom Biden appoints is going to be able to figure out how to do as much harm to the Chinese and their various rapacious activities while doing as little harm to the general world trade system as is possible. I think American companies have finally come to the reluctant conclusion that doing business with China is not a particularly attractive right. situation because they always override. And in fact, if you look around the world in places like Pakistan and so forth, the Chinese have made agreements with local governments, and it turns out that they've been fairly belligerent in the way that they've enforced them, and there's a real powerful gut reaction coming back in the opposite direction. I do think that you could hope that the Chinese will destroy themselves, at least to some extent. I regard them now as being basically, as a nation, a reprehensible kind of operation, and I think that the government bears no relationship to its people. I think we're much more sensible, and the real question is, can you basically get them back in line? The last person to do that is Joe Biden.
Professor Richard Epstein, the year one of the Biden administration in the books. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.